All right, good afternoon.
The Score Afternoon Show.
I wonder if there are others out there with me among the Score listeners who really enjoyed watching Aaron Rodgers and the Jets struggle. I'd like to see him healthy all year long and to see him struggle all year long.
Yeah, I get that. I remember a time as a Detroit Lion, Bill Laimbeer was coaching the Detroit Shock.
Yes.
And the WNBA team. I went and saw some of their games and met the Palace at Auburn Hills and, you know, get to park in the interior parking lot and all that. So Shock players are going by, hey, you know, high-fiving, swing cash and everything. And here comes Bill Laimbeer. He's just strolling by. He's minding his own business. He's got a bag in his hand. He's rolling by. And I'm in my vehicle at this point. I'm on my phone with my dad. And
it's Pops. Bill Laimbeer standing in front of my car right now. I should just put this thing in gear and run him off.
Like just the angst, the just rabid heat that I felt for what Bill Laimbeer used to do to Michael Jordan and the Bulls in the late 80s and early 90s.
Truly cannot put it into words. Straight up bitches.
And just me as a young Bulls fan, just the white hot hatred for Bill Laimbeer that just emanated from my pores in that moment, just looking at him in front of my vehicle.
Did you think about it?
I thought about it deeply.
Well, what we have here is a case of vehicle homicide.
And I already, you know, the ignition was up.
Can't.
All I had to do was put it in gear.
If you need someone to go to court, I will be glad to help, okay? That guy was a drunken maniac. He hit you, and then he crashed into that car.
Who?
Him.
He's not worth going to jail for.
I've never considered homicide more than I did in that moment.
He's not worth ruining your life.
That was what I ended up determining.
Yeah, right?
But the thought crossed my mind.
I thought I told you to back off Beansy.
I did. Then I put it in drive.
Oh, you think this is funny? That guy might never walk again.
The Score Afternoon Show with
insert host's name here
on Sports Radio 670 The Score and live on the free Odyssey app.
Anthony Herron did not commit vehicular manslaughter, so there is a chance that he comes back to join Score Afternoons at a later date. But right now, today, right now here, it's the great Ruthie Polinsky. Back on 670 The Score. What up? You excited to be back?
We are so back. I love it here.
Yay.
I love it here.
The people, they dig you. They clamored.
They dig me.
Yeah, they did. Don't you agree? Shane Tanny, you saw the people. They were digging her. They were saying, we would like Ruthie back, and now she's back.
Dig yourself.
Yeah, I know.
Oh, boy.
She doesn't have to dig herself. There are other people digging her.
The bear. Yo.
It's already been cut.
That's
It's
great.
Already been excerpted. That's how fast we work around these parts.
I've been practicing. No, I'm just kidding. I was actually on the fly. I'm very proud of myself. No, I'm so happy to be back. I really enjoy talking, period. So, you know what's funny? When I was in elementary school, I would get in trouble for talking too much.
Of course. That's a talk show host, future talk show host right
100%.
There.
I have one of my good friends growing up. His mom was my art teacher, who I'm still in touch with and see her. And she goes, I honestly feel bad because I had to call your mom so many times to say Ruthie's talking too much in class, and now it's your career.
Oh my God, that's
it's
awesome.
Just great.
Were you? I was totally the kid who, like, the kid next to me would say the quiet thing to me, and then I would say it out loud to get the laugh.
No, I just had a lot to say to the people around me. It wasn't really class clown vibes. Mm-hmm. I just, you know, wanted to talk.
Yeah. So like, what's on your mind today? Go ahead.
What's on my mind today? The page turn day.
This is. This is the page turn.
We're talking about the Texans today.
Yeah,
baby.
We take
Sunday Night Football.
We take our cue from the rhythms of a regular NFL week.
Every Wednesday, we call it Wet Ball Wednesday.
That's not.
Richard Hightower is my spirit animal. I love that man so much. It hurts.
All right, I forgot Ruthie, that we called it Wet Ball Wednesday.
What do you call Richard Hightower? What is the nickname that you see associated most with Richard Hightower?
HT. Yeah.
Okay,
Thank you. So
why does Flus call him H-Mac?
Yeah, we don't know. I think that was a mistake in the moment. I think Flus was flustered, or is it flustered? Probably you say flustered for him.
There are two reasons. So I think that it's because he played for Mac Brown at Texas. And also, he went to MacArthur High School in Georgia.
Yeah, so you think those are reasons why Matt Eberflus got all flustered and said H-Mac? I think he just made a mistake.
I think it could be.
In the moment, who was he on the phone with? It was a prospective draft pick. that he was talking to.
Probably Taylor, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, it was Tory Taylor. And he said to Tory Taylor, all right, time for you to get to know your special teams coach, H-Mac. And I think he messed up because nobody calls him H-Mac.
Flus has a lot of nicknames to remember, guys. He's the nickname king.
Here's your special teams coach, Dragon Slayer. Oh, wait, no, that's Jalen. Jalen was here yesterday.
I heard it was phenomenal.
It was awesome.
Is there another player on this Bears team, other than, let's say, Caleb Williams, that you would want to be your culture setter, other than Jalen Johnson?
See, you watched the mic'd up segment. You said
everyone
you were watching it.
Everyone needs to watch this. It is... I caught myself smiling so big watching this. First of all, he expects so much of himself. He expects so much of his teammates. He is absolutely having the time of his life. And just watching him experience that made me so happy. I loved every minute of that mic'd up. And I highly recommend everyone go check it out on the Bears Twitter. It's phenomenal.
That's really cool. I got to see it. I've not seen it. We had him the other day, as we always will on Bears Mondays at 5 o'clock. And I want to go down this path a little more. I asked him like why he still plays so angry and with an edge now that he's gotten paid. Cause there was this idea last year that he was going to be one of those guys, you know, who was playing hard in part to get paid, and he's come back angrier and feister. And he said, well, yeah, now people are talking about the money. Like maybe he's not worth the money because the timing was such that he got a certain amount because that's how the market works.
Yeah.
And now he's playing. So he's exactly the same dude is Jalen Johnson, which is awesome because you don't have to look too far back in the Bears secondary in recent memory for a guy at safety and Eddie Jackson, who a lot of people thought took his foot off the gas after he had been paid.
Let me present you with another theory of his sort of chip on his shoulder or edge that he's still bringing to the game. I would say he's a new dad. And if you listen to that mic'd up, he talks about little Jay. Or I'm not sure, I don't want to misquote him, but and then at the end of it, he's walking into the tunnel. He goes, I can't wait to see my son.
Oh.
There's a part of that, I think, that is so motivating for a young, you know, successful player that just got paid. He's, you know, still playing for a lot. And I don't know. That just kind of came to me as I was thinking about it. But I think being a dad may add, a new level to him.
Well, that's interesting because one of the things that Jalen has shared with us was that he likes to sit around the kitchen table and talk defensive back technique with his father, who was a DB, and his brother, who was a DB. So now he's got a son. Maybe he dreams of the son being a DB. It's a family business. So I don't know. It's interesting. See, these are the kind of sidetracks that happen when me and Ruthie Polinsky get to talking. It's what happens around these parts. Here's what's going on. We'll check in Houston later on. We'll check in with our guy, Pat Tomasulo, about the Laugh Your Face Off event that is coming up. And Chris Emma will have the very latest from Bears practice. Along the way, an opportunity for very fun sports on your television last night, which I took part in and want to know if anybody else did. We have a rare opportunity for hope regarding a winter sport in this town. I want to bring that up to you and a whole bunch more. But let's start with this. Kurt Warner broke a lot of our brains on Monday talking quarterback play, the pure progression system, or at least that methodology of teaching a young quarterback to look for option one, then two, then three, then four, then five, working across the field. And every time you switch, you might have to reset your feet when you decide to throw. And like that kind of learning methodology, as opposed to what Kurt learned under and what he thinks is more viable, which is a full field read the defender system where you're looking for a defender to cue off of, and you have multiple routes that are based on the same timing, usually one short and one long. So a young quarterback only has to time it once and set his feet once before he decides where to throw. You heard that conversation. Were you digging it like we were?
I did. I was walking through a Jewel Osco listening on my AirPods, and I was stopped walking in the grocery store with my grocery cart, if you could visualize.
What section?
Moment of silence.
It wasn't produce?
No, it was like, I think it was the pasta aisle.
Okay. This is important. Important context.
And I had to stop my cart and like go, like, I was like holding my brain. I was like, hold on a second.
I get it, because fusilli and penne have different properties of holding the sauce, right?
We're going to talk a lot about food on the shows that I'm
on.
That
deserved a rim shot, but that's okay.
Sorry. It's usually
but yes,
other people derailing you. I shouldn't derail.
I was listening to the Kurt Warner interview, and you I loved are. It. Yeah. Yeah. Also.
Where were you when you were listening to it?
Thank you, Shane. I told you, I can't be the one derailing this. Somebody else needs to.
Tell a story again, but you're in a place that Speaks can't riff about. So place Speaks hasn't been. 3 o'clock, probably.
Stopped me dead in my tracks is what that conversation did.
Okay, it did. All right. And so I have now decided and taken it upon myself to try and figure out what young quarterbacks mm-hmm. have learned the pure progression system and what young quarterbacks have not. Because C.J. Stroud is not. And we'll get into more detail on that. And I'm like, well, that's interesting because that's Bobby Slowick Jr., who is the offensive coordinator there, coming from Kyle Shanahan in San Francisco. So one of the calls I made today was to a media friend in San Francisco who knows the offense and knows the offensive coordinator well. And he told me that they don't have Brock Purdy doing a lot of the pure progression system where he's going across the field looking 1, 2, 3, 4, that Kyle Shanahan has a more intuitive system where he takes some decision-making out of the quarterback's hands and just tells him, just look for this one key and look for that. So it is closer to what Werner was talking about of a timing-based system where multiple routes are open to you at a similar timing. Does that make sense from the way you've heard Kyle Shanahan's system discussed?
It does. We've heard the phrase quarterback-friendly. Perhaps we've been thinking of this in a different way, or maybe there are a lot of ways to characterize what a quarterback friendly system means, but this to me sounds very quarterback friendly because you're taking a lot of the time and the decision making away, and you're able to process things seemingly much quicker.
Yeah, and so now you're thinking about, let's see, Brock Purdy was pretty damn good right away.
Mm-hmm.
Jimmy Garoppolo was good in that system. Mm-hmm. Other people have been good in that system. So yeah, I think, so we're kind of investigating this and sort of going further with it with the more people we reach out to.
Yeah.
And trying to figure out who does it this way and who doesn't do it this way.
And I was, previously, before I was in Chicago, I was in Miami covering the Dolphins. And I was there for the Mike McDaniel takeover when he seemingly fixed Tua, coming from the Shanahan system and the Shanahan offense, working on confirmation to see if that's kind of part of the maybe solution for Tua. But I think it's really interesting to see kind of how these tree branches spread out, and we look at the quarterbacks and the offenses and the systems that these young quarterbacks are learning in, and perhaps it's exactly what Kurt Warner was discussing.
Yeah, and Tim Jenkins pushed back on it, the Midday Show's quarterback guy, saying that you needed a mix of both
sure.
within your system. And I get that. But to your point about McVay and Shanahan, we've heard that they're similar route trees and similar concepts. And I know that some of this is in the weeds, people. But I think it's really interesting, especially for us in a town where we've now watched three young quarterbacks try to learn how to play the position. You know, mm-hmm. we've gotten into it. So let's keep getting into it. So yeah, so maybe the route trees are similar, but the Shanahan one is more about timing, whereas the McVay one is about timing, but it's also about a quarterback being able to read progressions and go across. So there's more calls to be made. There's more systems to check in on. The other person that I was able to check in on was in Indianapolis, because somebody had texted and said, what's Anthony Richardson doing? Because he looks pretty damn good. And so I talked to a media person in Indy, talked to our friend J.J. Stankovitz, who knows the Colts really well.
Mm-hmm.
And he told me that it is pure progression based from Shane Steichen. It is 1, 2, 3. You know, sometimes you get to 4 and 5, but that Anthony Richardson is really good at it. He's really good at it. And that also Steichen builds in some things telling him when you go to the line, if you already know that 3 is going to be good, go ahead and make it your number one. Go ahead and skip your 1 and 2. So like he builds in some cool shortcuts, which is fascinating. So Steichen and Richardson are doing what Kurt Warner doesn't like, but it's working at least so far because Richardson's really, really good at it. And Steichen has learned what Richardson is good at it, good at and works with him. So it makes me think that the pressure's on Shane Waldron here to try and figure out what Caleb's good at, what works for him, and be ready to adjust if need be.
And that is the hardest part of being an offensive coordinator or play caller or whatever you want to call it, someone who's working and directly teaching the offense to the quarterback. The hardest part is figuring out what your quarterback's good at and then being able to switch your perspective as the offensive coordinator if those two things don't match. Because that was the problem with Luke Getsy and Justin Fields, is it didn't feel like there was a match in terms of what Justin was good at and what Luke could teach.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they tried to switch it up, but it kind of reverted back to what Luke Getsy wanted him to be, and Justin couldn't. There was just this kind of pull and tug of war, nip and tuck.
You got lots of options
of what, you know, the offensive coordinator wanted the quarterback to be, and vice versa.
Mm-hmm.
So, I think when we see quarterbacks that have a lot of success, you find that match, i.e., Kyle Shanahan, Brock Purdy. He's figured out what's good, what Brock Purdy's good at, and he's made it work for his offense. Same with Tua Tagovailoa in Miami, where I was, and I watched, you know, the second coming of Tua Tagovailoa.
Seriously, like a complete rebirth in a system that seemed to make a lot more sense for both his skill set and the way that he thinks about it.
Absolutely.
All right, so what else do we need to do to chase down this story and to follow through on this?
I'm working it.
And get smarter. Yeah, so you've reached out to Miami.
I'm working on Miami and I'm working on Atlanta.
Okay. Atlanta's interesting because that's Zach Robinson, who was up for the Bears job, working with Kirk Cousins, who probably could do anything by this point, you would think.
Michael Penix,
uh-huh,
who they love. So I think that'll be interesting to see. You know, they're essentially that they want him to be the future there, right? Otherwise, you don't draft him. So I'm curious to see what they're teaching them as well. Working on, you know, these coaches, they're busy on Wednesdays. They don't want to text me back.
That's right.
We're working it.
When I talked to JJ, he said, we're going to the locker room in 10 minutes. Call me right now if you want to talk.
Wow.
You know?
Yeah.
Oh, and sounded like she's talking to coaches. Sounds like she's got better sources than I do.
Some assistants.
Huh. Interesting.
I'm trying, but who knows if they'll text me back. That's the issue.
All right, so I've got a call into Minnesota because I want to check in there. What is Kevin O'Connell teaching?
Mm.
And why was Sam Darnold really good right away?
Lights out.
What the hell's that about?
Where's that been?
I don't know. So where else? Feel free to text in at 312-644-6767. And yes, Paul, thank you for the suggestion about Steichen and Richardson. And that was a good phrase, a good path to go down. So if you've got other avenues that we should go down and try to chase down who's doing pure progression, who's, you know, doing full field defensive reads, then feel free to text them in. By the way, we are broadcasting live from the Scores Hyundai Studios, brought to you by your local Hyundai dealers. Taffy pull. Texter says you were looking for taffy pull. That's the phrase. It was a taffy pull between... No,
never
says,
used that phrase in my life.
She wasn't looking for taffy pull, but thank you for playing.
I appreciate the input.
Yeah. So people are trying to help. Playing. You know? It's really nice. By the way, download the Odyssey app, search for 670 The Score, and tap follow to receive alerts on our Bears coverage. And if you can't get enough, check out the Take the North podcast with David Haw and Dan Wiederer, breaking down the biggest storylines ahead of the Week 2 showdown at Houston. Follow Take the North on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast. Top of the hour, what we thought was most impactful from Matt Eberflus and Caleb Williams today. You'll hear that. But coming up next, what's the most important trait that the GOAT had? Hear from the coach next on The Score.
I've never used that term in my entire life. I think when people say it, I'm always like, what's the Patriot way? It sounds like the title of a book. I think what we tried to do was we tried to do things the right way. I think we tried to practice the right way and prepare the right way. What happened on game day was ultimately a reflection of what we practiced. And I thought we had great leadership from our coaches, and it filtered down to the guys who really drove the culture. We had so many guys that I played with over the course of a lot of years that, you know, really understood that, okay, I'm going to care about my teammates and I'm going to care about helping the team win.
That's Tom Brady. If you search on Amazon, there is a book called Patriot Way. It's the road to a modern NFL dynasty, but it's just like a amalgamation of Boston Globe columns, apparently. There is a book called The Cubs Way, written by Tom Verducci, about what Theo Epstein et al. Did. So, yeah, it sounds like a book because people want to read that book. And instead of reading it, we will listen to you talk about it fairly endlessly, Tom Brady. And now his head coach, Bill Belichick, who is everywhere, right? Ruthie Polinsky is in here for Score Afternoons today and tomorrow. Bill's got, what, like seven jobs?
For someone who hated the media, he's now one of us. I think we all deserve an apology. I was there covering this, his team, and he was so mean.
That is it. You were?
Oh, yeah. I was in New England Brady's last 3 years.
Right.
I was in
Providence.
Rhode Island.
You're in Providence. Oh, yeah. That's right. And he was mean to the media.
I mean, not nice.
So we used to laugh at that and be like, oh, he's just gruff. That's just him. But you were there on the front lines.
I remember one time I asked him a question about, they were playing the Chiefs, and I asked him about how he's seen, I think they had maybe played the Chiefs, I don't remember exactly what the question was, but I said, how have you seen Patrick Mahomes evolve in ways off the field, like throughout the course? And it was, you know, this was years ago. And Bill goes, I don't know. He's not walking the halls here. And I'm like, mm-hmm. Oh. And that was like, and then I think he like, I was like, okay, like nodding my head in this little seat. And I'm like, this little reporter for Providence, like I finally got the courage to ask Bill Belichick a question, and he just like shuts me down. And then he felt bad and kind of was like, well, you know, but and then he like went on for like a little bit,
this
but like it
incredible.
Was tough.
You know, it's incredible.
Hey, you fellas come from Providence?
You think your business where we come from, is it now?
Delivering cannolis or something?
Come from down Providence. So here's what's amazing. I'm sure, Ruthie, that you once asked a question that got a jag-off response from Bill Belichick that we played and laughed about like crazy here at the Score.
Yeah.
And now that you've referenced that one, pretty sure Tanny can go back and find that from some Chiefs week for the Patriots.
Just give me the year.
No, I don't think it was as bad as, like,
doesn't mean we're not going to find it.
I had a colleague who's now, his name's Mark Dondero, who's now on the radio in Boston, 98.5 The Sports Hub, and he used to make a shtick out of asking Bill crazy questions.
That's
and would
awesome.
Get like, Bill, does anyone ever go up to you in the grocery store and just say, hey, Bill, hope you kick Denver's ass this weekend? And Bill's like, can't remember the last time I was in a grocery store. And it like went viral like all through the Boston airwaves. It was like incredible. And everyone's like, who's this Mark Dondero guy in Rhode Island?
Look at him.
Now he's on the radio.
Now he's on the radio. That's how it happens. Well, Belichick was talking at one of his media gigs. This is McAfee. This is him talking to Pat McAfee. And he was talking about the GOAT. He's talking about Tom Brady, not as a broadcaster, but as a quarterback. And I haven't heard this yet, and you have not heard this yet. But Tanny, our esteemed audio overlord, Sap. What up, Sap? The senior audio producer here at The Score says we should hear this. What's the most important trait that Tom Brady had as a quarterback?
You know, the thing that Brady, of all the great plays that he made, the thing that Brady didn't do was, you know, he didn't have very many plays like Levis had yesterday where he just, you know, gives the game away or makes a bad decision for the team. You know, Tom always protected the team, and even if it wasn't a great play, at least it wasn't a bad play, which is one of the reasons why we had so few negative runs when Tom was the quarterback. It wasn't that necessarily every run was a great run, but if it was a bad run, Tom wouldn't run it. He'd find something else to do. He'd throw a look pass out to the receiver or change the play in some way, but it wasn't just, you know, run the ball and get slaughtered for a 3-yard loss. I think he must have said, I don't know how many times yesterday in the game, in the Dallas-Cleveland game, you know, Dallas keeps going backwards. They keep losing too many yards. Well, that's the truth. You know, the offense's job is to move the ball forward. And when you're in second and long and third and long more than 10 yards, I mean, it's really impossible to have any kind of success or any kind of consistency. So just get the thing moving in the right direction. And Tom and I have talked a million times about, you know, if you complete this pass, what's the upside? You gain 1 yard, you gain 2 yards. You know, that's the one that always got me when the player said, well, I was trying to make a play. I was like, well, how about trying to make a good one then? like the play that Levis had where he gets out of the pocket, he flips the ball, you know, underhand, backhand, whatever it was. And that's just, you know, even if you hit it, what do you really have? Not much. And then if you don't hit it, then, you know, you lose the game. So it's just, there's no upside to that play. There's only downside. And, you know, it's just, you know, that's just a terrible decision.
All right, so that's awesome. Because
awesome.
Isn't it awesome?
Awesome.
I think awesome is the word that I would use. I don't know about you.
I love when Bill hypes up Tom. Like, I don't know. I just
And it's
it.
That's interesting in and of itself, but like the sensible simplicity of don't cost us with a disastrous play and check out of something you think is potentially a minus and just at least get us a couple. the difference between second and eight and second and 13 is massive. It feels like when a baseball player is either up 2-1 in a count or down 1-2 in a count. And what changes in your possibilities and your mindset? And are you defensive or are you aggressive? All those kinds of things. Just simple. Don't hurt us. Move the ball in the right direction.
And on a grander scheme, it's basically saying you don't have to win us the game, but don't lose us the game. Right. And I think that sounds familiar to a quarterback that played his first NFL game on Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, not necessarily that there were every play was
talking about
positive.
No.
not saying that every play was positive.
But there was no big negative.
The 19-yard sack didn't feel so great. But
okay, there was that big negative.
But like, I just mean in a grander scheme, he took care of the football. He made some really smart decisions that the other quarterback on the other side of the ball, I mean, listen, he lost the Titans the game. Actually, I don't really like using that narrative because I do think the Bears did enough to win that game. So I don't like saying that the Titans gave them that win because the Bears earned that. But I will say that, you know, relating this back to what Bill Belichick was saying, Caleb Williams did a lot of that on Sunday.
Yeah, he certainly didn't cost them with an idiotic mistake putting the ball in harm's way. He had the one throw that went off the helmet of the defender, and he's fortunate that one doesn't get picked. But something as careless and as reckless as Will Levis did.
Yeah.
You know, when you're a playmaker like Caleb is, there's got to be temptation to try and do that. And if the playmaker part of him, you know, plays into the 19-yard sack, he can learn from that, although he had very little chance to do much of anything on that. But no, that's good and simple, powerful stuff. Real quick, why do you like so much when Bill hypes up Tom? Something warm about it to you.
Well, I was there for the divorce. So I was there Brady's last 3 years in New England, and it was really ugly. That was the story, was the Belichick and Brady relationship at the end. And why things got so bad there. And I don't know if anyone remembers that massive Seth Wickersham article that came out that
yes.
was, you know, Brady was locking Garoppolo out of TB12. Like there was some crazy stuff happening there at that time. So now to see them, I don't know if anyone saw the Brady's Patriots Hall of Fame, you know, sort of, what was that? His Hall of Fame celebration
and
whatever. That was like to see Bill and Tom together. The roast was, I think people who grew up in New England and the page, and my husband's also a Boston guy originally. So we kind of still keep up with what's happening in with the Patriots in Boston. And it's kind of like, there's a soft spot in our heart for it.
Let's put a pin in this and get to it either. If not later today, then tomorrow when we're together again, because the denouement of Brady and Belichick would be interesting to get from down Providence. When we come back, Caleb and Flus talking earlier today about making the jump from week one forward, Caleb versus Stroud and more. Keep it here on 670 The Score.